Telephone surveillance, no phone company required. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Federal agents reportedly have the technology to spy on mobile phones without ever involving phone companies. This revelation from the Wall Street Journal today involves the U.S. Marshals Service using light airplanes with devices that trick cell phones into linking with the plane instead of the phone company's cell phone towers. Devlin Barrett is the Wall Street Journal reporter with the scoop this morning. Mr. Barrett, good morning.
Good morning, David.
So it's not the NSA, it's actually the U.S. Marshals Service here. Explain this a little bit. They grab data between your cell phone before it gets to the phone company, so they don't even have to involve the phone company.
Right. They've sort of cut out the middleman, so to speak. And if you think about what the marshals do, they hunt fugitives. So to a certain degree, the technology and the methodology makes sense. They put equipment that essentially mimics a cell tower up in a plane that flies around a place where they think a suspect is hiding. That fake tower basically tricks every cell phone in range that that plane is actually the nearest cell tower. So all these cell phones will ping their registration information up to the plane. That can be in a densely populated place, tens of thousands of people, and the machine will sift through all that information looking for the suspect phone.
This is a key thing. You know, every cell phone in the area, they're targeting suspects, but the process seems to scoop up data from lots of innocent people. Do they retain the data at all?
It's really unclear what safeguards are in place to prevent retention of data. We know that some of these devices in the sort of advertising and regulatory environment can retain that data and be used for cross-referencing later. Some of the folks I've spoken to insist that everything they do is legal and data retention is not anything that the public should be worried about. But I think because so much of the actual mechanical details of that process is still secret, it's a little unclear if you can say that absolutely, that no data is retained.
What did the phone company tell you? I know you talked to, for instance, Verizon.
Yeah, Verizon didn't know. It was news to them. Sprint and AT&T declined to comment. You know, the normal course of business has been, if you want information like this, you go to a phone company and you ask for it as a law enforcement agency. They've basically cut them out of this process, and they've streamlined the process from a technology point of view because in some ways they get better location information doing it this way than going to the phone companies.
Devlin Barrett at the Wall Street Journal, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Barrett's piece also references law enforcement technology that could pull the images and texts from a phone, but it's not clear if those functions are in place or are being used. Volkswagen is laying out a plan to recognize the United Auto Workers Union at its only U.S. plant, the one in Chattanooga, though it's not quite what the union was hoping for. The UAW has been working hard to organize a foreign-owned plant in the South, and the South is where so many of the auto jobs are these days. WPLN's Blake Farmer reports.
There was the stinging defeat in February.
A majority of our employees have voted against representation by the United Auto Workers.
The UAW's southern strategy appeared to be snuffed out, and this was at an automaker that had been welcoming to the union. So instead of trying its luck elsewhere, the UAW has tried a side door. It started a local chapter, even without recognition from Volkswagen. President Dennis Williams said the union couldn't give up on the South.
The plants are located here. It's important for us to organize them.
The UAW has called this week's policy change at Volkswagen a step forward, but it still doesn't accomplish the Detroit-based union's ultimate goal. The policy allows for multiple unions to have different levels of representation, and no one would get exclusive bargaining rights. For that reason, some Republican politicians who had been campaigning against the UAW were cheering. Gerald McCormick is the majority leader of the Tennessee State House.
I think it's a victory for the workers and for Volkswagen and for Chattanooga in particular.
Republicans have fought to keep the UAW from getting a foothold in the region because they see the union as damaging to the business climate. The union could use a big win to go into other plants with a head of steam. Gary Castile is now the union's top organizer.
You know, we're talking to Nissan workers. We're talking to Mercedes workers. We talked to BMW workers. Now, which one of those has the amount of interest from the employees that we would actually try to start an organizing drive? We'll have to assess that.
But Castile points out that the UAW has a long history in the South. just not in the big multinational plants. Membership has even grown in recent years, but labor attorney Cliff Hammond says they're small shops.
I don't think people really appreciate how difficult it is to go, even in Michigan and Ohio, in a big plant, let alone down in the South where you don't have your grassroots.
And despite inroads at Volkswagen, no one is counting this week as the momentum-shifting win the UAW's been looking for. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And Augusta National sees itself as a very exclusive golf club indeed. 2 years ago, it refused admission to no less than the chief executive officer of International Business Machines. Jeannie Rometty is female, and until recently, Augusta National did not admit women. Now there's a report the IBM CEO has been let in. Golf Digest says Rometty was seen hitting some balls on the course on Friday. Augusta National is not confirming, and IBM says it doesn't comment on its boss's private memberships. Two other women are members, Condoleezza Rice and Darla Moore, the South Carolina financier. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.